VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we can't say enough much. We appreciate you tuning in to stay informed on such critical issues that are impacting our nation. As we covered last Thursday on Crosstalk, the sanctity of marriage is under attack. It's under attack by our current Congress. Last week, 47 Republican House members abandoned their party platform, abandoned traditional values, and abandoned the very essence of marriage as ordained by God to join forces with liberal Democrats in an effort to destroy the Defense of Marriage Act, passed with a large bipartisan majority, signed into law by then-President Bill Clinton. It appeared that's maybe where it was going to stop, until steam is picking up in the U.S. Senate, where it appears a number of Republican senators are also willing to jump ship as that ship plots a course to run aground to the peril of the nation. Joining us here today on Crosstalk, we welcome back constitutional attorney Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt is a constitutional attorney with three landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Jim, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Let's, if we could, Matt, just go back to see what has rapidly brought us to this point of marriage. It was actually the recent Dobbs decision overturning Roe that's propelling the action against marriage. How did we, what's the connection?
Well, the connection is a concurrence from Justice Clarence Thomas, and so he concurred in the Dobbs decision. He wrote a separate concurrence. He's part of the majority to overrule Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. But in his concurrence, he wrote specifically that the court ought to, at an appropriate time, reconsider its so-called substantive due process decisions that go all the way back to 1965. And these particular decisions create a method by which the justices from the 1960s up until recently engaged in judicial activism. There is no such thing as substantive due process. There is due process, but it is procedural. In the context of the Constitution, due process of law requires that you can't be deprived of your life or liberty or property without due process of law. That means you have the right to be notified of the allegation or the charge against you. You have to know what it is that you're facing. And then secondly, you have a right to be heard on that issue so that you can provide a proper defense. That's due process, a right to notice and a right to be heard. That is a procedural due process. It shows that you have a certain procedure. The reason why that's in the Constitution is because before the Constitution, what the founders were used to is their life, their liberty, their property, and other freedom was just simply taken away without any notification as to what the issue was, and they never had any opportunity to defend themselves. So that's due process of law. That's clear. What the Supreme Court invented was, quote, substantive due process. That there's got to be some substance to it. So where do you get it? Well, it's not in the Constitution. It's not stated. It's not enumerated. It's not applied. So it comes by the imagination of a judge. So what you have then is the first case that began to apply was the Griswold case back in 1965. That was a case where a state banned contraception for unmarried couples. And, of course, that people may or may not like that in a different state, but that doesn't matter. It's not something that's in the Constitution. It's irrelevant. It's not a federal constitutional right to have contraceptives if you're not married. It went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court invented a so-called substantive due process right to have contraceptives, overruled that decision. Then, in 1972, it extended it to overriding a state law that banned contraceptives for married people. Then it then had full-blown birth in Roe v. Wade, 1973, a so-called right to an abortion. Then it gave birth to the same-sex marriage decision in 2015, the Obergefell decision, that granted a so-called right to same-sex marriage, which is absolutely absurd. There is no constitutional right to do that. So What he is saying is we are needing to get back to more consistent historical, objective interpretation of the Constitution, and we need to re-examine this whole substantive due process issue. Now, there may be other provisions in the Constitution that you could rely upon, but certainly not this amorphous, judge-made idea of substantive due process. As a result of that, there has been this panic over the fact that the Supreme Court, as they overturned this abortion decision, Roe and Casey, could overturn the 2015 marriage decision. It was only a 5-4 decision, and some of the people that are on the court at that time, like Kennedy, are no longer on the court now. So that decision, if you had a challenge to marriage and challenge the idea of same-sex marriage in the Constitution, could go back to the U.S. Supreme Court and I think could easily be overruled. So that's where this panic is coming from.
Well, Matt, so we're going to talk about what is new on the table here, but before we speak of what happened last week, let's go back to the Clinton administration, and we had the Defense of Marriage Act. What was the purpose of this act? What can you tell us about it?
That came about as a result of the mid-1990s, where Hawaii, so Supreme Court in Hawaii, had a state law case. And it suggested, although it never decided, and it sent the case back down to the lower court for further consideration, that there might be a provision or a basis in their constitution for same-sex marriage in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was judicial activism, but because of that and the implications that that would have for the other 49 states, Congress got together and overwhelmingly passed the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, and it was signed into law by Bill Clinton. This particular law says that one state has the right to determine its particular marriage law, particularly as it relates to marriage between the union of a man and a woman. So if one state went across the line, like Massachusetts, and they adopted same-sex marriage, well, that's Massachusetts. That's not going to affect Wisconsin or Florida or Texas as long as you have this Defense of Marriage Act. It was a states' rights provision that allowed states to have authority over their own marriage laws and policies.
And Matt, I want to point out that this passed overwhelmingly in the House. Back when the Defense of Marriage Act was up for a vote, it was 342-67 that it passed, the Defense of Marriage Act. In the Senate, it was 85-14. I mean, overwhelming support for it, and then signed into law by President Clinton. I mean, it's amazing.
Right. It's been amazing, amazing support, just like what you had in another situation, and that was with regards to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. You
mm-hmm.
had back then, you had an incredible support for both religious freedom, and you had incredible support for marriage as the union of one man and one woman, and that wasn't that long ago. So now what this new provision coming up in the House, H.R. 8404, and now in the Senate, S-4556, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act, which is always misnamed. You can always tell that there's something else behind it when you look at these names. That is the opposite of DOMA. That doesn't just repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. It actually goes further. It actually allows, it undermines states' rights. You know, the Defense of Marriage Act was a provision that protects state rights with regards to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This new provision, this new bill, would undermine states' rights and would allow one state, for example, California or Massachusetts, to dictate the marriage laws and policies of every other state. So someone might say, well, the reason why they're doing this is they're repealing DOMA. You know, it doesn't expressly repeal DOMA. It's very interesting. But somebody might say, well, it's repealing DOMA because the Supreme Court already ruled on same-sex marriage, and therefore one state can't resist the same-sex marriage of another state. Well, there's two responses to that. First, the Obergefell decision is on very weak ground. I think it could be overturned very easily because it's not grounded in the Constitution whatsoever. Secondly, and even more importantly, this is far beyond same-sex marriage. It means that, say, if California or some other state allowed incestuous marriage, then the other 49 states would have to allow that as well.
Wow.
It would
wow.
impose it on them. And by the way, right now it is limited to marriage between two with the number two individuals. But all they have to do now is once they pass it, strike the number two,
mm-hmm.
and it would say a marriage between individuals, and that would open up the door for polygamy and polyamory or group marriage.
Matt, so last week we had Nancy Pelosi hurriedly put together this vote on H.R. 8404 to, it says that, you know, its purpose to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, and as you point out, it does much more than that. But this passed overwhelmingly, and what was a shock to many is not so much that it passed in the House, but that 47 Republicans abandoned their party platform to join with the Democrats to thumb their nose at traditional family values. I'd like to just read from page 11 of the Republican Party platform, Matt. This was passed in 2016. It was reaffirmed in 2020. It says this: traditional marriage and family based on marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation for a free society and has for millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in United States v. Windsor, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress to define marriage policy in federal law. We also condemn the Supreme Court's lawless ruling in Obergefell v. Hodges. In Obergefell, five unelected lawyers robbed 320 million Americans of their legitimate constitutional authority to define marriage as a union of one man and one woman. The court twisted the meaning of the 14th Amendment beyond recognition. That's a quote from the Republican platform, which 47 just willingly jumped off the ship here in order to have it run aground, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. That's a very strong platform. That platform has not been changed, and yet you have in the House already 47 members of the House that just simply jumped ship from that. You also have now in the Senate, they need 60 votes to override the filibuster. It looks like they have about 54 votes and maybe 55 votes. So it's going to be very, very close in the Senate to stop this bill. You know, it does. I just want to make I made a mistake when I said something that it doesn't repeal. It does repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, but what I meant to say is it not only repeals the Defense of Marriage Act, which is clearly stated as a supportive bill, and marriage as a union of one man as a supportive idea and foundation for human relationships in the Republican platform, but it goes way, way beyond repealing the Defense of Marriage Act. After it repeals it, it goes into this idea of equality, and then it goes into this idea of same-sex marriage and really expanding it way beyond same-sex marriage. We know for a fact that the ultimate objective of these individuals that are frankly trying to undermine the institution of marriage is not just same-sex marriage. It is any kind of marital relationship that you want to come up with and rename it as marriage. And that would include polygamy, where you can have one man having multiple women, or perhaps even vice versa, one woman having multiple men. But you could also have what they want to do is polyamory, and what that is group marriage. You could have your whole neighborhood that is part of marriage with multiple fathers and multiple mothers, and it's just an incredible disruption and deconstruction of God's design for family and marriage.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver is with us here today as the U.S. Senate is poised to vote on marriage. We're going to have some more information. We'll be providing you a phone number here for the Senate switchboard as well, and more information concerning this this issue that's hit us certainly very hard. We'll be back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution enter into the abortion debate?
It certainly does, Chris. In fact, evolution has long been used as the justification for abortion. Even today in abortion clinics, young pregnant girls are told about an evolutionary concept called embryonic recapitulation, in which the fetus, as it grows in the mother's womb, remembers its evolutionary ancestry. And at one point, it's just a fish. And it's okay to kill a fish, so you can abort in those months. What's the harm? In such a way, many are deceived into murdering their unborn children. But the fetus is a person. Humans were created in the image of God. The human fetus has just not finished growing yet, but it's human in every sense, both scientifically and biblically. So you see, Chris, even modern societal issues go back to Genesis for more understanding.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America as the U.S. Senate is poised to vote on marriage. And it looks like it was going to be kind of on a back burner until Republicans started jumping ship and said, yeah, I wouldn't be in opposition to that. Well, folks, the vote passed 267 to 157 in the House. Many thought it was dead there. But there's new breath that's being given to this right now because of the people who have signed on to this. People like Republican Senators Susan Collins and Rob Portman have already signed their name as co-sponsors on this legislation, along with open lesbian Senator Tammy Baldwin and Dianne Feinstein joined forces with them to pass this legislation. And also as a shock to many, Matt, it was in the front page of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just the other day that Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin had indicated that, you know, he didn't see any reason why he would be against this. He was in favor of civil unions, according to the quote, prior to the Obergefell decision. And saying LifeSite News said he might be the fifth senator in Republican senator. But let me give you some names here. And I'm looking at the Daily Signal. They're mentioning that there are several that are testing the waters on a radical issue that 7 years ago they vehemently opposed. Names like Roy Blunt of Missouri, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Tom Tillis of North Carolina started popping up in news stories as possible yeses, Matt.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, I'm very disappointed in Ron Johnson. He has been a very good, one of the leading voices in Congress, particularly in the Senate, with regard to the COVID tyranny, the lockdowns, the shots, the adverse reactions and deaths that have occurred. And he's also been a voice in that context with regards to what's happening in the military with the adverse reactions and even deaths that occurred there. But on this issue, of course, he hasn't said yes yet, so that's why it's very important. I mean, he has said that he would be in favor of it, so I'm hoping that he's only a possible and he can be persuaded, and he's got to be persuaded. He's in a very tight race in Wisconsin, and I know he's going around the country having campaign stops, raising money outside of Wisconsin because of his race in Wisconsin. He's being targeted in Wisconsin, but I can tell you what, if he does this, he's going to lose the conservative pro-family support, and he can't afford to do that at this time or going forward.
Friends, let me give you a phone number for the Senate switchboard. That is 202-224-3121. That's the Senate switchboard, 202-224-3121. If you wanted specific senators, their individual phone numbers, you can go to senate.gov. You'll find their individual numbers for D.C. as well as all their district offices in your state. And you may want to contact the district offices as well as their D.C. office, because certainly if they're hearing from their home districts and saying, hey, they're calling D.C., hey, we're getting calls on this and D.C. is getting calls on this, it makes quite an impact. For instance, we mentioned Senator Ron Johnson, who seems to be on the fence but leaning toward speaking against or voting against traditional marriage. His D.C. number, I just, for instance, I went to the site here, 202-224-5323. That takes you right into his D.C. office. You'll also see his offices from Milwaukee, Madison, Oshkosh. If you go to look under Joni Ernst as well, you're going to find the same thing as far as a D.C. number and other numbers as well. And, Matt, I really believe that there are those who are testing the waters on this issue at this time, and some would ask, what has happened in these last 2 years? I mean, the most recent Republican platform was passed in 2016. It was reaffirmed in 2020. Yes, we're adopting that 2016 platform as it was, defending traditional marriage. What has changed in these 2 years that is causing Republican legislators to really poke traditional values voters in the eye?
Nothing has changed in those couple of years, and in fact, the only thing that would change is probably some of these individuals' minds, but if that's the case, you have to question how solid they are on this or other issues in general. And again, you know, that's why it's going to be very important when we go to the polls every time to make sure that people who are elected, whether it's in the primary or certainly in the general election, are grounded with our Judeo-Christian values so that they're not going to waver like this. This is just absurd. You know, you go back to the 2015 Obergefell decision. Up until that decision, Liberty Counsel had been involved in defending nearly 60 cases around the country. We only lost one. That was in California in a 4-3 vote at the California Supreme Court. But that was quickly overturned because people in California, and we helped push that as well, went to the polls and they passed Proposition 22, which overrode the California Supreme Court. So that's a unanimous victory until we get up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And by a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court invented this idea of same-sex marriage, just like they did in 1973 with regards to Roe v. Wade. And when you look at that, in 2015, not only did the court repudiate all the marriage laws and the numerous constitutional amendments that were passed across the country, just unprecedented number on this issue of marriage in their state constitutions, but we became only the 23rd country out of 195 nations in the world to do so, and the only one in the world of only one of seven, I should say, to have it imposed by a court. Even today, there's only 33 countries that have gone down this path of redefining marriage. It is a very bad path to go down for multiple reasons. Children do best when they're raised with a mother and a father. And if these individuals in Congress don't get it, and they want to then take away states' rights, they're not wanting to fight this unconstitutional decision of Obergefell at the United States Supreme Court. They're wanting to not only impose same-sex marriage, but also, as I said, impose every other idea of marriage that one state will then be able to control the marriage policies of the other 49 states. And that would include, you know, a father marrying his daughter, a mother marrying her son, incestuous marriage. So a state adopts that, then the other 49 states, wherever that person goes to, has to affirm that as well. That's never been our marriage policy in the country. And then beyond that, all they have to do is strike the number two, where it says between two individuals, that it applies to giving full faith and credit between any marriage between two individuals. Just later on, strike the word two, just the number two. Mm-hmm. And then you have any marriage between individuals. And that all of a sudden puts you into one state having polygamy or polyamory or any other kind of variation.
Matt, there's another thing I'd like to point out here. And Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council put forth a column. It was quoted in the Daily Signal. But he said, just as astounding as these Republicans' names that are being given right now that are maybe yeses, we don't know. But he said, just as astounding, only nine Republicans. Now, he authored this on the 23rd. Only nine Republicans have jumped to marriage's defense and saying, you know, standing for one man, one woman marriage. That was Senator Bill Cassidy, John Cornyn, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, Jim Inhofe, James Lankford, Marco Rubio, and Roger Wicker. But those are the only ones that have really said, yes, we're standing behind marriages between one man and one woman, but there's 37 other senators, Republican senators, who are either unresponsive or undecided.
Yeah, they either said, well, I haven't read the bill. It's not a very big bill, by
no.
the way. And you don't usually hear them say that on something else that could be, you know, an 800-page bill.
Right.
You know they haven't read it.
Matt, this bill is three pages and two lines after that. I mean, it's less than...
It's very short.
Yeah.
Very short. So obviously it wouldn't take but a few minutes to read the bill, if that. And so I think it's a cop-out. They say, well, they don't have a response. Well, you ought to have a response. It's marriage, for goodness sakes. There are certain fundamental things that really transcend time and geography and political parties and nations, and that is the sanctity of human life, that life is sacred, and marriage, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. And that's not only from, you know, revealed law from what we see in the scriptures, but obviously from natural law. It's just obvious in God's design of nature that a man and a woman are designed in marriage complementary to one another. It's also intuitive and certainly backed up by empirical evidence that children do best when they are raised with a mother and a father. Same-sex marriage is a complete undermining of God's design for marriage and the family.
Matt, sometimes we make assumptions. If there is an R behind somebody's name, they're going to vote this way. If there's a D behind their name, they're going to vote that way. We can't make that assumption with this. And this is regardless of who one senators are. It is really critical for them to make that phone call to Capitol Hill.
That's right. I mean, it's very critical. As you saw, all these different Republicans surprising people in the House to vote in favor of same-sex marriage or in this bill that would actually even go beyond same-sex marriage, we can't take any of these for granted in the United States Senate. On the other hand, I don't want anybody to get to the point where they're defeatist and say, well, my vote, my voice, my call is not going to count. Right now, it's very, very critical. They need to hear from you. If somebody is undecided over this issue, my goodness, you know what helps them to decide? It shouldn't be this way, but the constituency. And they need to know that this is going to cost them votes, whatever they are, Republican, Democrat, that this is a very serious, fundamental, foundational issue. You can disagree on a lot of things, but this is a foundational issue.
Well, folks, again, it is S4556. That S stands for Senate, 4556. And at first, this was being put on a back burner, thinking they weren't going to have the 60 votes to break a filibuster. But friends, it's gaining steam. And it appears that there are additional Republicans that will join with the Democrats to violate the Republican platform and violate the traditional values to go aboard with this. 202, here's the phone number, 202-224-3121 to let your views be heard or to go to Senate.gov. Matt, the other thing I wanted to point out today, I looked at an article from The Hill, and they're reporting that more than 1,000 openly LGBTQ plus candidates are running for public office this year. It is the most in recent history, according to a data that's published by the LGBTQ Victory Fund. They're running for offices from school boards to the U.S. Congress, but more than 1,000 open LGBTQ plus candidates.
Well, and you know what that would translate into, obviously, is policy like this right here that we're looking at, and not just this kind of policy, but you know, the Equality Act, the Transgender Bill of Rights that's moving through the House and it's being considered by the various committees, pushing the LGBTQ agenda on every person, not allowing any religious accommodation or exemptions. That's what it translates into, among many other things.
And one of those running for the U.S. House, Matt, Jim Obergefell, and he's running for Congress in, I believe it's the state of Ohio, and got the endorsement from Human Rights Campaign.
Yeah, and he's the Obergefell in the 2015 Obergefell decision, right. So you can imagine. I mean, this is a big battle. You know, we fought for decades to overturn Roe v. Wade, and had some victories and then had some setbacks and just continued to fight. But it took nearly 50 years to do that, and a lot of people lost their lives. A lot of innocent people and families were destroyed and lost their lives in the process. This issue of same-sex marriage is, frankly, an oxymoron. It's only been around since 2015 at the Supreme Court. It's not set in stone. And this is an issue that is very, very tenuous because, again, it's on very shaky ground in the Constitution, even more so or as much as Roe v. Wade.
We are back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Part of the Thief in the Night series, here is a clip from A Distant Thunder.
Your right hand, please. That trick, young woman, is used in here 50 times a day. Now, if you want your child cared for, you must have your ID.
I can't take the mark. My baby is dying.
The Thief in the Night four-part prophecy DVD set is available from VCY America as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $25 or more. The set includes A Thief in the Night, A Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, and Prodigal Planet. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829, or order online at vcyamerica.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, believe it or not, it very well may come up for a vote before the United States Senate, that which would decimate marriage, I mean, enshrine marriage as between any two individuals, same-sex or not, according to this legislation that would repeal what was known as the Defense of Marriage Act. And your senator voting perhaps very soon on this. Some are abandoning their platform in order to accommodate, to putting their finger up to the wind to see which way it's blowing in order to cast their vote on this issue. They really need to hear from the people across this nation, and that number is 202-224-3121. Just before we pick up calls, and by the way, we've got a couple open lines yet at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Matt, I just want to quick get an update on a couple of matters. Number one, you had a landmark victory before the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this year, and we understand that a federal court has just given their sanction, basically, to institute that which the U.S. Supreme Court declared.
Yes, we had a 9-0 decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on May the 2nd. It's a huge decision. It formed the foundation for the win in Coach Kennedy case, and also for overturning the 1971, 51-year-old terrible precedent, Lemon versus Kurtzman, that's haunted First Amendment free speech, free exercise of religion, and establishment clause cases for 51 years. Now, just last week, the federal district court entered a permanent injunction against the city of Boston, so they can't ever use that policy again to censor religious viewpoints of Hal Shurtleff and Camp Constitution. And as a result, also, we will then go back to the city of Boston and actually have an event that we wanted to do in 2017. So we're going to wind back the clock, if you will, to 2017, and we're going to do what we needed to do then, what we were entitled to do, and that is have an event at the base of the flagpole and then have the Christian flag raised just like everyone else was able to raise their various viewpoints expressed in their various respective flags.
Wonderful. And what a tremendous victory this is for the nation. One other thing, and lines are packed now, so we'll get to the calls on marriage here. But, Matt, I know just late last week we have the declaration from the World Health Organization about another global health emergency, under namely that of monkeypox. Do you have concerns that they're going to try and do with monkeypox what they did with COVID?
I do have concerns, and I always said, I know you did too, Jim, that COVID was more of a test run for some of these people with bigger agendas, global lockdowns and so forth, climate change advocates and others, and population control advocates. And they saw now from this template how they can control people, how they can lock them down, how they can really throttle back the economy and so forth, and force people to take these different kinds of injections. So it's not the last. We're not done with COVID-19, but I think it was a big test run. And so the next one's going to come down the pipe. It looks like monkeypox, and right after that it's going to be something else. So I'm very concerned about now you got the World Health Organization declaring this a world health emergency, which frankly is very concerning. And when you think about it, it doesn't apparently take much for the World Health Organization to declare a world health emergency for them to do this with monkeypox, but they're doing it now. And, you know, with this particular administration, we'll have to watch and make sure that they don't try to use this like they did and are continuing to do with COVID.
Okay, lines are packed. Let's go to them right now. We're going to begin in Tucson, Arizona. Greg, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'm in Arizona, but I'm originally from Massachusetts, and it shouldn't surprise anyone what these 47 Republicans did when we consider that same-sex marriage was created illegally and unconstitutionally by a Republican governor, Mitt Romney. He illegally authorized it, not the court. In fact, the second state that did it was in Iowa, Republican governor Branstead. So we shouldn't be surprised at this Republican defection. The worst thing about Romney was, after he did what he did, was the Republican leadership covering it up and even vilifying those of us who told the truth and tried to get it out. Hmm. And then we got the latest fad here in Arizona. I call it Grinnellism, where Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate are all like vying for and seeking the endorsement of Trump's homosexual friend, Rick Grenell. I mean, it's a poison in the Republican Party.
Thank you, Greg. We're going to get a comment from Matt on that. Appreciate the
call. Yeah, and what you're talking about with regards to Massachusetts, you know, the court in Massachusetts had a bad decision, of course. It was a split decision, but it gave the legislature a certain time frame in which to respond and act. The legislature did not. Well, what Governor at the time, Mitt Romney, did was he went ahead and pushed same-sex marriage anyway without any legislative enactment. And so you're right. He is the one in Massachusetts who pushed same-sex marriage on the people. The court had a bad decision, but the court did not have a definitive, you know, statement as to what to do. It gave the legislature the opportunity to react to its decision. And when the legislature didn't react to its decision, in other words, it didn't amend the statutes and adopt same-sex marriage, Governor Romney had no authority and no, frankly, any reason to move forward with same-sex marriage, because the executive only enforces, doesn't create the law, but what he did is he actually tried to create the law.
We've got Zach calling from River Falls, Wisconsin. Zach, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say I was really sick to my stomach when you announced on Friday that Senator Ron Johnson was in favor of this same-sex marriage bill. It seems like the general consensus from Republicans on this issue is that they believe it was already settled, and for the same reason, that's why they're either for it or against it. I'm also really sick and tired of Republicans reaching across the aisle and shaking hands with Biden and Democrats and moving or rolling the ball forward on this liberal New World Order. But what I am really happy about is that this hopefully gives us the chance to, the fire has been, restoked, and this gives us the chance to correct this mistake, hopefully.
Thank you, Zach, for your thoughts. And I just encourage you, Zach, you express your disappointment, contact his office, Ron Johnson's office, and let your views be heard.
I already have done that.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, continue to contact these senators in your office, in your state. And Ron Johnson is a prime candidate to be contacted, as well as these others that you mentioned, Joni Ernst, Roy Blunt, others that should be contacted as well. Because it's only going to take a handful to get to that 60. If they can't get to the 60 votes, they won't be able to pass it in the Senate. If they get to the 60, it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they only need about a handful more, five, maybe six at the most more, to come on board and say yes to this bill. But, you know, you're right as far as this issue. It's a big issue, and I think the fire has been reignited in a lot of people. They're tired of these legislators using them and just playing for their votes, but then when it comes down to something very critical like this, caving on it. This is not a settled issue by any chance. I never thought Roe v. Wade was a settled issue. We fought against it because why did we not think it was settled? Number one, it was unconstitutional. It's very clear. Even its supporters felt that it was not supported in the Constitution, but they wanted it anyway under the guise of the Constitution.
Let's go to John in Arizona. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that same-sex marriage is a sign of progress. It is your religion that is absolutely disgusting. There was never any Jesus, never existed, born a sinner. There's nothing to be saved from, and you and people like you are lunatic frauds.
We're frauds? In what way, John?
Pornography. It is your priests that are sexual predators, or institutions that are stealing from this country. Same-sex marriage, abortion, these are signs. These are positive signs for a good country.
Positive signs. So when we kill our, when we kill the unborn, how is that a positive sign for the country, John?
That's not how it is. That's not. That's how you want to frame it.
Well, no, that's what it is. Life begins at conception. So when we kill,
John, have you ever seen an abortion?
Your religion is shrinking.
Have you ever seen an abortion, John?
Is shrinking.
Have you ever seen an abortion? Just answer that question. Yes or no?
I have.
What level of it? And tell me how you saw it.
Murder. What you are doing.
Have you ever saw the pieces of the child with the fingers and the toes and the brains and everything else. Have you ever seen that?
All of this
assembled together after an abortion. Have you ever seen a second or even third trimester abortion?
I have seen it all. I have seen it all.
No, you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it, and you're just. I encourage you to open up your eyes and actually see the murder that's going on. And if you can still say that that's not murder, then God help us.
Yeah, indeed.
Because, I mean, if that's not murder, then it's not murder to murder a one-day-old, a two-day-old, a five-month-old, a six-month-old. It's no difference. There's no difference.
Yeah. John has certainly got to check your moral compass in that regard, and to determine, you know, right from wrong. And certainly you're under the delusion of every man doing that which is right in his own eyes, but it leads toward destruction. We've got Zoe next in Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Well, all this, you know, I have friends and family that I run into that I think of as conservatives, and you hear this live and let live thing from them. They don't really love the idea of the, you know, so-called homosexual marriage or whatever, but they, but what I keep thinking about, when they put in DOMA to begin with, you know, I've always felt like marriage, it's an ordinance of the of God. And when they put in DOMA, I remember I worried back then that why are they doing this now? And I had this horrible feeling they were doing it in order to take it down way back when they put it in the first place, because I thought, why are all these people suddenly wanting to put this legislation? And I wasn't against it. It's not that. In fact, I signed a petition in favor of it, but mm-hmm. I had this suspicious feeling. And the other thing I wanted to say real quick was, I know one thing, that the homosexual, I don't like to use the word community, but I can't think of another word right now, they have a lot of money, and they also have been very good at influencing corporate,
mm-hmm.
and they know how to apply pressure, and they know also how to threaten people, because I fell under that once,
yeah.
and I know what it's like.
Yeah. Well, you know, originally the DOMA, I don't think people supported it or voted for it thinking that they were going to take it down. The reason for it was to protect states from being forced by another state to adopt same-sex marriage against their policy. And that's what DOMA really is about, and that's how it worked until 2015 when the Supreme Court issued its ruling. But 2015's decision, like I said, that was a different court. That was a 5-4 decision, and it's on really, really non-constitutional ground. So I think it's subject to being reversed. I think it will be reversed. I have no doubt. I mean, I had no doubt that Roe versus Wade would ultimately be reversed, and here we are, June 24. It's gone. I have the same conviction or belief about the Obergefell decision. Why is that? And that's because that's a house built on sand. It's not constitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that protects same-sex marriage.
Thank you, Zoe, for the call here today. We're up against a break, and we'll take the break and back to more of your phone calls. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Matt Staver is with us from Liberty Counsel. Their website, lc.org, lc.org. Tons of information on their site on so many different issues, including that of marriage and life and so much more. So check it out, lc.org. We're back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There are three steps the communists are using to carry out their ongoing revolution in America. Now, let me make this very clear. There are many plans and many processes, but there are specifically three steps I want to concentrate on today that the communists are using to carry out their revolution in America. Number one, formal communist education. Most of our schools, elementary schools, as well as high schools and colleges, are giving young people, now for decades, a heavy dose of communism under such names as common good or social justice. Number one, formal communist education. Number two, self-criticism and criticism of America. America now has been declared a racist nation, an evil nation. We're called to criticize ourselves as Christians and conservatives. And then number three, the censorship of reality and truth. These are the steps for a communist revolution.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Again, their website, lc.org. Let me just make mention also, the bill that is before the Senate is S-4556. The S stands for Senate, 4556. The very headline, the very first line, is to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act and ensure respect for state regulation of marriage and for other purposes. Well, folks, it disrespects the marriage laws of another state. Let me also indicate the phone number where you can reach out to your senators, which is 202-224-3121. Right back to the phone lines to West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I'm telling you, this is really getting old with some of these Republicans. You always hear about how conservative they are and all the great things they've done, and then they're in long enough, and you start hearing things like, oh, wobbly Republicans, they're testing the waters, they're turning left. Liberals don't have to worry about that. They elect lefties, and those lefties go and take office, and they remain lefties. And they're hard-hearted. They just stay. And there's no holding their feet to the fire needed. They just do it. And that's the way it should be with the conservatives. We shouldn't have to hold their feet to the fire, but we do. And I called Ron Johnson about this. I said, look, you don't do things right some of the time. You do things right all the time, no matter what the result is. There's no excuse for this. Why would you want to put your name on something like that?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't able to answer. He doesn't do it live. You have to leave a message.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Brad.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's so important, Matt, again, for people to reach out, not to just vocalize this to a fellow church member, but reach out to the legislator themselves and let them know.
Absolutely. I mean, even though you're leaving a voice message like that, fill up their voice messages and do it multiple times. You don't have to just do it after one call. Just keep on contacting them any way you can. Send them, email. We have fax numbers that you can send as well, and they have to take that because they don't shut off their faxes. So we send them faxes. Do whatever you can. Make sure that they hear from you.
And folks, reach out to the district offices as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let your voice be heard. Christine is calling Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I cannot thank you enough on every level for your work. I donate and I encourage others to do the same. But the fact of the matter is I've tried for years to encourage even my pastor on this level. I warned what was coming. I mean, not that I'm a prophet, but it's so very obvious. The log cabin right. Republicans, the apathy is so thick. It's so intense. I cannot even get church members to call their legislature. I've done that. I called Style. I believe he should be primaried. But Ron Johnson, it's the same thing. It's why would you do this? Because, as John MacArthur said, we're not a nation going to judgment. We are under judgment. I'm not trying to be fatalistic, but I will continue to fight. We are in a world of hurt, and I believe God's judgment is upon us. I'm going to continue to do what you're doing, sir, and I thank you for your warnings and your continued calls to action.
Well, thank you very much. You know, speaking earlier of what Jim said about the Republican platform, John MacArthur preached a sermon several years ago where he was comparing the Republican and Democratic platforms on the issue of marriage and God. And one thing he said is that it looks like one of the platforms had adopted a Romans 1 platform, which, that is a rejection of God. And what happens when you reject God, it speaks about that in Romans 1. Where you burn in lust toward one another. We've got to be strong in our churches and certainly in our, legislators. We've got to hold their feet to the fire.
Doug is next in West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, this is Doug, and I'm so glad I get a chance to talk to Matt about the subject of abortion. I agree with the previous callers decrying the direction our nation is taking, but I remember back in 1973 that the Supreme Court opinion said, well, we don't know when life begins, and if we ever determine when life begins, then this decision would have to be revisited. And so I was hoping that that issue would come up and that they wouldn't send it back to the states, but they would say, yes, in fact, this is a live person.
Right. Unfortunately, that was not the question that was brought by the litigants in the case. So the court only addressed the question that was brought, and that was not only the 15-week abortion ban, but whether there's any basis in the Constitution for abortion. They answered no, and therefore the 15-week abortion ban stayed in place. But they didn't go to the next level because it wasn't presented by the litigants about when life begins. That is perhaps something for another day, but that is critical. And you're right. Going back to 1973, they said, we're not going to decide when life begins, but if we did, it would have a significant outcome in this particular case. Mm. Well, when life begins is the issue.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Doug, for raising that. Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow the point that the caller made earlier about DOMA. When I first heard of it on your program, I felt the same way immediately, that marriage never needed defended. That was only put in place to be able to knock down real marriage later, which they haven't. Let's just be clear on that, because the court said that two men can marry and a baby isn't a life because it's in the womb. Doesn't make it right. And let's stop calling it abortion. Let's call it what it is, child sacrifice.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's, you know, you look back and there's no difference. But yeah, thank you for your call. I mean, this is a very critical. There are two foundational issues, life and marriage.
Yeah.
And they've got to get it right on both of these. And so people that are hearing this program, call and let your friends and others know to call your senators, because it's very critical. Literally, there's only a handful that will make a decision as to whether or not this passes.
And folks, that vote could happen any day, any day. The phone number to your senators is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Go to senate.gov. You'll get their individual office numbers to D.C. as well as their district offices as well. We apologize to other callers on hold right now. We've run out of time. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. And Matt, thank you for joining us. A very critical issue that we must stay engaged with.
Thank you, Jim. And we have lcaction.org, where we have, you can fax there as well on this very issue, lcaction.org.
And friends, check it out. Again, that's lcaction.org. You can reach out to Liberty Council, 407-875-1776. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.